2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Kelly Olynyk makes both free throws. He's been really amazing for the Jazz since the trade deadline. Did it again tonight, 19-10-8, and the Sacramento Kings, for the first time in 8 road games, have lost.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, happy Tuesday to you. All right, well, I was looking at this Jazz game last night, yeah. And when I dipped in, it was 32-13 at that point, and yeah. I went, what's going on here? And then at the end of the first quarter, the Jazz were up 42-19.
Yeah.
And I went, okay,
You had to like get your roster out to find out who they were. Like, who are all these guys playing for the Jets? Never seen them, never heard of them.
How does Udoka Azubuike have a game like that last night?
Yeah.
Well, where were you the rest of my life, Doke?
Actually, I think I have an idea about that.
All right, so here's what we're gonna do.
We got I have another idea. I got something pretty bold and outrageous. I'm not sure how bold and outrageous it is though.
But did you watch when you're watching the game, yeah, and the game like last night, when you're watching it, do you think to yourself, like, do you get mad or do you go, like, because there's part of me that goes, I'm a little upset that the Jazz haven't told us what their intentions are.
You know,
like, then, it just seems like they haven't been truthful. And we've been making up expectations. The thing is we've been carrying narratives as fans. Right, I've heard every different theory as to how the Jet, what's going to go on. Yeah, they're going to lose 13 out of 14, and then they'll be in a great spot to get that to get Scoot Henderson or whatever. And I'm going, yeah, maybe. And then I buy into that, and then it doesn't happen.
I got all your answers.
All right,
let's crank this thing up. Let's go. I'm not saying anything because this is the cut, and I don't want to mess up the cut here.
Let's kick the tires, light the fires, and let's. Now that these mics are all warmed up, let's get going with the cut here.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Hear that, Jeremy? That's a G2G bar right there, baby.
So is my that what they sound like?
Yes, it does. My favorite part of this is, too, don't tell anybody, Jeremy. So Scott stole these from the Deseret News?
No, I was invited.
How did they get them?
Oh, no, he was invited. He's speaking at some event.
Speaking for the Deseret News.
So they said, you can have a G2G bar if you want. I went, thanks. Thanks, Deseret News. We appreciate it. So we're eating the G2G bars here in studio, who, of course, they sponsor our program. G2G bars, packed full of protein. They taste fantastic. No additives, no preservatives. In the refrigerated section at Costco, Associated Foods, Holiday Oil, Maverick, etc. So we'll try not to eat it during this actual segment. That's a worthy goal. Because Jeremy's always like, maybe don't eat during the show.
Well, we're not going to eat or drink in the studio.
You can't eat or drink in the studio. This is for a prop. This is for props.
Yeah, we're not allowed to do that in the studio. So we will not take a drink in the studio.
We'll jump in here with this Jazz game. No Lauri Markkanen, no Colin Sexton, no Jordan Clarkson.
Of the three things, which one do you want me to talk about first?
So those are your three probably. Disagree with me if you will, if you have the guts. Those are the Jazz best players right there. Those are the best scorers that the Jazz have.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the guys that.
Those guys are pretty darn good.
The most cool thing to me last night were eight guys in double figures. It was wild to see Doak go 6 for 6 from the field. To see Kelly Olynyk, the clinic, putting on one last night, hitting three-pointers. He was like, what, two rebounds away or two assists away from a triple-double? Like, I was blown away by this team. I don't have any expectations. I've told you this from a few weeks ago. I initially said that about halfway through the year, and now I really don't. And you said, I've got some wild stuff going on. And
tons.
I went, I'm going to buckle in here
tons
and
of
say,
stuff.
Scott, roll out for me what you got. What do you have here on this Jazz team?
All right.
Update me on what your real theory is.
I'm gonna throw out the haymaker first.
Okay.
I'm going to bring it out. Is Walker Kessler the rookie of the year?
Well, that's not too crazy because he was in the conversation a little bit before.
I know, but
I don't think you're going to run down Paolo Banchero.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
though.
You will because there.
No.
No one has time for a guy who's not scoring 20 points at least as a rookie of the year.
But I'm telling you, if this Jazz team were to make the playoffs and maybe make a little bit of noise in the playoffs. And the way that Walker Kessler is, let's just start with, he had a 50% improvement in his free throws from the last game to this one. He missed both of them last time. He made one of two, so he had a 50% improvement. I say that jokingly.
Because I was
you're
like,
sitting there going, huh,
I'm still like, no. Because I actually am going, I'm all, let me see these new free throw stats. He's still not great.
Sabonis is about to do something.
He's an all-star.
But he's about to do something this year that only one other player has done. Okay? And that other player was Wilt Chamberlain. Sabonis has had an amazing year.
Yeah,
right?
Awesome.
And he owned Sabonis last night.
He got right into him, didn't he?
He had some amazing plays in that game that really impacted and affected the game. And he's playing like he just gets better and better and better. And you think of the Celtics game, you think of this game last night and the significant plays he had down the stretch to help the Jazz win the game. And you just go, and I just was watching it last night going, why not Walker Kessler as a rookie of the year?
Yeah.
And I get, you know, the flashy score 20 points. I understand that. And I understand there are other players deserving. But I think it's more. I think it's more than well. He's just in the conversation. I think you legitimately have to look at. He's had a significant impact on this Utah Jazz team, and I just don't know. And again, there's still 11 games. There's still some time, but man, he has come from nowhere, and you just get excited when you see him. I think Thurl Bailey said it. You know, he actually can contort his body. And for a big man, you know, it's pretty straight up and down for a lot of big men. But the big men that the Jazz have are contorters. Markkanen's 7 feet. Olynyk is, you know, Olynyk had a night last night. But Walker Kessler as rookie of the year, I think you really got to talk
Jeremy,
about it.
You go down. You're our degenerate gambler. I don't know where these magical places are. I don't want to get my computer in trouble for looking up bets, but what are the odds currently on rookie of the year in the NBA? I would think that Paolo Banchero is going out of Orlando. He's 20 points a game and almost 10 rebounds. Now, Domantas Sabonis, by the way, what is the thing that he's doing that hasn't been done since Wilt Chamberlain? He's averaging 19.5 a game. He's averaging 13 rebounds a game, and I think almost eight assists a game.
And while shooting over 60%.
So those
And
numbers,
only Wilt Chamberlain has
right.
done that.
This is why crazy numbers like that are why Nikola Jokic, the Joker, is your like continual MVP, because he's averaging basically a triple double and in the high 20s scoring. He's just an insane shooter. And so this guy comes in. Domantas Sabonis is a all-star year for him again. He has been fantastic. And Walker Kessler got into him immediately. And he shook him immediately. And it was weird, too, because I think that that's the reason that Udoka Azubuike can come in. Maybe he's playing a little bit desperate, too, because he wants to find himself on a team next year, and I don't think this is the one.
And so
you're seeing that this guy comes in, and he immediately makes an impact. And then Doak goes, all right, I'll take a little bit of heart here, too. Comes in, goes 6 for 6 from the field, 13 points I think he ended up with, one of those 8 guys in double figures. But more importantly, this Jazz team has just totally written off the idea of them being one of the bad teams. If they're in a play-in, do they win a game, Scott?
Possibly. I mean, it's this is a team, again, I just think if they got everybody healthy, and now that you've gotten all these guys, these role players, different, you know, they've grown, they've developed, they put themselves in a position where they can have a pretty significant contribution to the team. So, because Clarkson and Sexton come back, they're going to be starters, right? And so they're going to take spots away from probably Talon Horton Tucker and Ochai Agbaji. I mean, but last night Chris Dunn was the closer at point guard, you know, and did a phenomenal job.
Yes.
But I want to go back to Azubuike.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
And it was fascinating to listen to Will Hardy talk about Azubuike at his post-game press conference. And every night, it's just I could just sit and listen to Will Hardy talk, because he goes, let me explain something to you. A guy who hasn't played, which he hasn't.
Right.
I mean, I was just like, man, that's the last guy off the bench. And I'm like, the Jazz must be desperate if he's coming in the game. And he goes, for a guy to go in 9-minute stretches, he went 2 9-minute stretches in the game, you have to be in shape. And he goes, you know, one of the most impressive things about Udoka Azubuike is he is a guy, first guy shows up at practice. He works with our developmental coaches. He's really putting in the time. It's super impressive because he's got no time.
Right.
And it's so hard when you're a player and you want to get on the court or the field or whatever, and you just don't ever get an opportunity. You just don't ever get it. And to his credit, to Azubuike's credit, and to really the credit of the Jazz and Will Hardy understanding this, and for the player to have the willingness to put it in, for whatever reason, right? I mean, look, all these players, Alex, they go, there's a lot of money at stake here. So they're all going to play hard. They're all going to try hard. They're all going to buy into this, whether it's with the Jazz or with an opportunity somewhere else. They're all going to give a great effort. And it was just really impressive, one, to hear Will Hardy describe this effort that he's put into this. And there was a moment when Azubuike came out of the game, and Will Hardy, so Azubuike, you know, he's like at the foul, you know, they're shooting a foul shot, and Kessler comes in for him, and he goes over to the sideline, and he just walks straight to the bench, right?
Right.
And so there's no reason for Will Hardy to pass Will Hardy. Will Hardy intentionally walked down towards and intercepted Azubuike and just kind of gave him a handshake and acknowledged, how significant that effort was. And he goes, if these guys aren't ready, if they and ready is physical condition, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to practice all the time and you don't ever get to play in games. That is like the that's a kiss of death. It's the most brutal thing as an athlete you could ever put yourself into. And it's so hard to keep that focus and to keep that intensity. And you see him in the game and you're like, the guy showed up. He showed up, and it's because he shows up every day. But to hear Will Hardy describe it and how significant it was and how much he appreciated it, I just really was not lost on me that he sees this about all the players on his team, and it's a culture that the Jazz are really building and developing, because I think that's why this team is winning, is because a collective group of coaches and players have bought into a style.
So that's pretty fascinating to think that every game we get something new out of Will Hardy.
I know. It's
and yet the same. Like, it's the same. Yeah. It's a consistent message, but there's always a little nugget in there that's a little bit more. He's thinking all these steps ahead. And I know that it sounds like way too effusive because we just pour it on Will Hardy every day. I think we've just been so impressed all year by this. And he's not going to be the coach of the year. Just like Walker Kessler's not going to be the rookie of the year, but is pretty deserving of a lot of praise and is pretty deserving on maybe a handful of votes even, and has done more with what he has than what we thought was going to happen. Will Hardy and Walker Kessler, I hope, are always tied together. Like John Stockton and Karl Malone and Jerry Sloan, I think Jazz fans would be lucky enough. And it's wild, too, to think that the success that Quinn Snyder had in the stretch of years that he had here at Utah, that you could be so much like, you know what, I like this guy better. And yeah. I think that – and maybe yeah. it's recency bias, and maybe it's, you know, trying to pretend like your new boo is way better than your ex-girlfriend. You know, it's like, nah, this guy is really talented. He's got something. Jeremy, I saw you were on one of those websites that could get us banned as a show at Bonneville. So what was the betting odds on Rookie of the Year for Walker Kessler?
Well, it's shot up the past month because he played a lot more.
Yes.
These are up from February. So about a month ago, they don't update frequently. But he is third. I think last time we talked, what, fifth or sixth?
He might have been third even that month ago, because that month ago it was around the All-Star break, which is when we started to see that his odds had shot up a little bit.
Yeah, went into the All-Star game.
So what are his odds then? It's Paolo Banchero still first, third. Right?
He's distant first, minus 1,000, which is like you make nothing. Yes. And then you have Benedict Mathurin.
Okay.
Plus 650, and then Kessler's 2,500. And he's well above Jordan Ivey and those guys, or Jaden Ivey, excuse me.
Think of the value you got for this guy.
I know a guy, if you just say it.
Scott goes, wait, what is what did you just say?
$1,500?
I got $1,000 just by betting on Paolo Banchero.
I have $5.50. What is that?
And I'll calculate
it's in
that
cash, and of course change, but and it's not quarters.
No, put your
either.
Whole no.
It's like pennies and dimes.
You need to put your whole house up on Paolo Banchero, dude. And then what? You get $50 back?
Something like that. Minus 1,000 is like nothing. Yeah, it's like you make a nickel on like $5 or something.
Okay. Something.
So I want to go back to a point you just made a second ago, because I think it's really important. When you talk about a coach and a player, and you look at players that have had that in their careers, and you look at Magic and Kareem, and you look at Bird and McHale, and you look at Jordan and Pippen or you know, some of these, you know, Stockton, Malone, right? And if you get the right chemistry with a guy, you do have this symbiotic relationship, and a coach as well. You know, my experience, you know, there was Don Shula with Dan Marino, you know, and they really were kind of on par, and there was a tremendous amount of trust and understanding, and there was, you know, this different level of communication. And when you have that, boy, that's magical. And if this Jazz team can find that as they grow as an organization, as a team, you know, and maybe it is a Walker Kessler, and maybe it's an Ochai Agbaji that becomes one of those players, or a Lauri Markkanen, and they're tied to Will Hardy, and that's when it really gets special. And, you know, you didn't see that with the Jazz with their superstars. You didn't see that there wasn't any connection at all between Rudy and Donovan.
Don't you get the
And it was just palatable. Okay. how Like I said, that I go, I would watch this team be average 10 out of 10 times than watching what I saw out of the Jazz a year ago. That was just painful to watch.
How many times this year painful have we seen after every game the reaction of, man, imagine if last year's team would have played with this kind of heart. That's been said so many times.
Yeah.
And a lot of the members of this team are still here. I mean, not a lot, but certainly not the starters.
Well, there's a couple.
But I'm saying, like, everything changes in a year, right? And after every game, you look back, and it gives you a little bit of heartburn, too, because you go, man, that does stink. That you can't get out of these professionals who you're paying tens of millions of dollars to a piece. You can't get them to try to figure it out, right?
All right, let me throw another thing at you.
Yeah.
So you were talking about, man, I don't know what to think about this team, right? It's like, man, they should be close to a top five pick in the lottery.
No, I'm over that.
They should whatever. Here's envision this. Okay, I don't know what version of this team goes into next year, right? You don't know who's going to stay. Maybe Jordan Clarkson. By the way, talk about impressive things. Did you see his fingernails last night?
Yeah,
dude. I don't know. It's like I don't know if those are artwork or airbrushed,
they're special.
They are special. The Jazz, they've mentioned this flexibility. So if the Jazz lose, fine, they get a nice early pick in the draft. If they don't, they have multiple draft picks that they could potentially turn into a trade. And what about free agency? You know, the Jazz have money in free agency. So imagine taking the nucleus of this team this year.
Yep.
And so now instead of drafting, you trade, right? So you trade for a Kevin Durant type of player, or you trade for a Kyrie Irving type of player.
And Kyrie Irving?
Irving, Irving.
Kyrie Irving would be an interesting player.
So you trade for a guy, and you get another one in free agency, and you add those two guys, very good players, to a pretty solid team already, and you start turning a corner fast. This Jazz team goes from whatever, because it's at a high speed right now, but I don't think this is 3-4 years of, you know, a rebuild. This thing could turn around quickly.
Well, I think the times we've talked to Locke, I mean, he threw out some numbers of like going from a 24 to 36 month window of where they're going to start getting good to lowering that down. I mean, those numbers sound like arbitrary. You just throw out a number and go, I think they're 24 to 36 months away. But at the same time, when he goes, no, I think we're looking more at a 9 to 18 month kind of window.
Right.
That is so much more attractive for a Jazz fan instead of just working your way through these just awful years that we were anticipating starting this season to where they are now. They're 35 wins. That's 11 wins over what Vegas had them at this year, and there's still 11 games left in the season. They could end up in the play-in, and I don't care because I do think that Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck, I think that they go, we've got two Walker Kesslers on our map here that we don't need to go and get in the top four pick. So, it would be great for them to get a really high pick. They've got so many other picks coming over the next few years. They've got so many other picks that they can use as collateral to be able to say, we want this person over here. Look what we're building over here. It might be attractive maybe for one of these guys who played for Will Hardy at the Celtics. That they go, I really like that dude. And so it's been really fun. And that guy, they buy into him already, and they know what he does. And so maybe that's attractive to him to be able to get a free agent out of that market.
And wasn't rebuilding supposed to be painful? Like, wasn't this supposed to be just so awful? And, like, this has been fun. Like, I'm
it's painful because we haven't been able to get right any of the guessing that we've had. Like, well, here's what they're going to do now.
But it's been so – I mean, I don't know – okay, the only game I went to this year when they played the Timberwolves right after the trade and Rudy was supposed to play and he didn't play and literally they pulled all the guys off the court as they were warming up. Said, "Nah, sorry, you can't play tonight." That was a bad vibe for this team.
Yeah,
but beyond that, you just go, how? Okay, let's rebuild more often. Really, I mean, this is
mid-season.
This is fun.
Why not?
This is enjoyable. You know.
I don't know how he's been able to make that lemonade out of getting the lemons of that exact night. I mean, we talked about how crazy that was where they made so many changes that day that you went, no, they're not going to recover from a gut punch like this season. All right, let's get ready for all the losses. Get ready. And it never happened, and a night like last night. And, of course, we're going to be looking at it, and of all the games we talked about in the last little bit, this Trailblazers game tomorrow night, I think it's tomorrow, right? Because then they play on Friday, they play in Milwaukee.
Friday and Saturday.
Everybody went, hey, man, they might steal that Portland Trailblazers game. And, of course, they're probably going to – like, look, because we don't know how to guess.
Damian said their season's over. Said
anytime he shows up, come on,
I know.
Man.
I think he's setting the Jazz up already.
Because of how this year went, if they lose by 17 on tomorrow night, then it'll be perfect for this season. Exactly how you have no idea how to predict how they're going to go game to game, but you do know how Will Hardy is going to be every game. You know how these young guys are going to come out every game too, and sometimes it doesn't match up. But eight dudes in double figures, it's insane when you go, man, five, six, even seven guys in double figures is crazy. But eight guys just shows you one. Everybody showed up and said, I'm going to show out for coach. I'm going to show out for the fans. I'm going to show out maybe for another team who is looking for somebody in a market because a guy like Udoka Azubuike, probably not going to be here next year. Ochai Agbaji, maybe he's trying out for that. I mean, think about the night he had and think about the season he's had. So that guy won the national championship less than a year ago, and he's putting games on like last night on for the fans. And it's crazy to see it happen. It's awesome to see it happen. So I'm pumped about it. We've got more to talk about with the Jazz, of course, coming up a little bit later. Tim Lacombe's going to join us. The coach is going to break a little bit down in the 5 o'clock hour how this Jazz team was able to accomplish what they have over the last two games. You're supposed to be bad and you're not. What's your problem? What's your problem for complaining about it, right? I just think it's hilarious that we do it. It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.